Well, good morning again. Today we're going to talk about family heirlooms. The things that are passed down to us from the generations that go before us. I have a couple of heirlooms. I was trying to think, well, what do I have? I have my grandpa's old guitar, and it's not expensive. It's not a classic. It's not worth, you know, thousands of dollars. But it was his guitar. It was a Montgomery Ward guitar that someone had given to him because he needed it, and he was leading worship in a church, and he didn't have a guitar. And so someone said, you know what, let me get this for you. And so that was something when my grandpa was sick and knew that he was not going to be here for a whole lot longer, he started to give things to his grandchildren, and that's what he gave to me. And so that's special to me. It reminds me of my grandpa. I like that, you know. My dad said that it was black to begin with, and my dad and his brother, you know, put paint stripper and scraped off the paint really carefully because my grandpa wanted it to be natural wood, so it's a natural wood color now. And so it has memories of my grandpa and memories of my dad, and that's special. I have a ring that was my grandma's high school class ring, and I don't really remember her wearing it. We lived a long way away. I don't remember what jewelry she wore, but that's something my mom said, you know what, she wore that all the time. She wore that every single day. She had that ring on. And after my grandma died, my mom's dad gave that ring to her. And then she gave it to me just recently. And that's something, it just reminds me of my grandma. And I like that. And that's a good thing. And we all have things like that. Or maybe it's just little trinkets, little things that aren't really of value as far as money goes. But they remind us of something. Remind us of who came before us, and remind us of people who aren't here anymore. And we all inherit things from our families. We might not have, some of us might not have that many things. I don't have that many things like that. I've got a couple little items. But we all inherit what I would call spiritual heirlooms, and things in our family that get passed down to us really no matter what. You know, you may or may not get something in the will, but you will get a spiritual inheritance. And that can be a good spiritual inheritance, or that can be a bad spiritual inheritance, but we're going to get it. There's things that your family does. Maybe it's things that your family has done for generations, and nobody even remembers why, but this is why we do it. Sometimes it's just traditions. What do you do at Christmas? What do you do at Thanksgiving? What do you do at a birthday? Well, this is what we always do. That's handed down. My family loves to play board games. That's not really spiritual, but that's something we do. That's an heirloom. That's something that we like to do. In fact, I was at the thrift store the other day, and I found this old Risk, the board game Risk, this old board, and I bought it for $1 because it was the same old board that my dad had when we were kids that he taught us to play on, that he had bought when he was in high school. And my dad still has that original one, so I know it's not the exact one, but it's an heirloom. It's something that I say, man, I remember this about my dad, and so I want to have this. We all inherit things like that, good things, bad things. Several weeks ago, Pastor David spoke about iniquities in families, and it's not just a fancy word for sin. It's referring to a bent in a family system, that there's a tendency towards certain kinds of sins that run in families, and this is something that affects us all. We all inherit this. We looked at how Abraham in the Bible had a tendency to sin in a certain way, and then that got handed on to his children, and that got passed on. And you see his son making some of the same mistakes that he made. We saw the same effect in David's family in the Bible. This goes on and on, and we know what this is like. We hear people say things like, oh, he's got that Peterson temper. And my apologies to any Petersons, if there's anybody out there tonight or today. But, you know, or the Joneses are just stubborn people. You know, that this is how we talk. That's just who we are. We get these things passed down. And it's not just expressions. That's really how it is a lot of times. A lot of times there really is a Peterson temper or a Jones stubbornness. And that's how it goes. My family can be bottlers. I would say that's a bent in my family that, you know, if there's something wrong or someone's frustrated about something, we probably won't talk about it. We're going to maintain the the level surface, but we're not going to talk about what's really going on. And that's something that I inherited. And I have to say, you know what? We're going to deal with things. Some families are shouters. Some families have other things that they do. But these are the family heirlooms that we're not proud of. These are the family heirlooms that we kind of say, I wish I didn't have this, but I do. Unless we intentionally break the cycle of some of these things, these iniquities and bents, these family heirlooms, they're going to continue in our lives and probably in the lives of our children and probably in, you know, that can continue on for generations. Because not all heirlooms are good. That's the first thing I want to say here is not all heirlooms are good. There's things we inherit that we say, and obviously the good things, you know, you don't have to say a whole lot about because they're good and I'm going to carry this tradition on. But not all heirlooms are things people want to have. You know, when someone dies, there are certain things that people fight over, you know, or they say, hey, I'd really like to have the old china hutch or grandma's dishes or, you know, I'd really like to have that. But nobody's fighting over Uncle Pete's old socks, right? This is something you could remember Uncle Pete that way because, you know, when he came and took his shoes off, everybody knew it. But no one's going to fight to remember that, right? There's some things that are heirlooms. Not all heirlooms are good. There are things that we want to keep and things we want to give away or get rid of. And that's the crux of this message today. That's the one, if you boil it down to what one sentence, it's a question. What are you going to keep and hang on to, and what are you going to throw away? Because there's things we all have. Whether we came from a good family, we would say, man, I had a really great childhood, or we say, man, I had a terrible childhood. My family, you know, was just awful. Either way, or anywhere in between, we all have things that we have to say, you know, I had a great family, but there was these things that were not good in my family. I'm going to throw that away. There's good things that I'm going to keep, but there's some things that I'm going to have to throw away. And I think there are people who might say, you know what, there are a lot of bad things in my family, but there were a couple good things, or maybe there was just one good thing. I'm gonna keep that in my family, in my life, but the rest I have to throw away. We all have. It doesn't matter how you grew up. We all have to do that. We all have to go through that process. What are we gonna keep, and what are we gonna throw away? That's the crux of the message today. Today's graduation Sunday. In the second service, we're gonna honor the graduates and have them come up, and I have a gift for them. I'm gonna show you what I'm gonna give them in a minute. If you haven't been down to the youth house lately, you should know that we have new carpet. The carpet down there was really old and worn and really stained. And, you know, kids or teenagers don't always be careful where they spill things or whatever. And there was a person in the church who approached me and said, we'd like to donate carpet to be put in there. And so last week that went in. We have brand new carpet. It looks great. I have, so here's what I'm giving the graduates. This is my gift to them as they leave. We have the old carpet, so they can always remember. And then this is the new carpet. And the verse in the middle says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And that's Ephesians 4:22. But I'm going to give them this because I wanted to remember this message, is that there are things we keep and there are things we think that we get rid of, we throw away. And I think this carpet being replaced, I thought, man, this is such a great picture of what we're talking about. Because there was a point when that just had to go. You look at it and you say, that needs to be replaced. And there's only one way to replace carpet. You just got to get in there and start ripping it up, right? But the carpet comes out easy. That's the easy part. If anyone's pulled up carpet, they know this. It comes up pretty easy. You roll it up and get it out the door. What takes time and what's a real pain in the neck are the staples, right? You get the carpet up and pull the pad up and it just rips. And then there's, you know, a million little staples. It took us probably, we had some of the teens come over on a Saturday and tear out the carpet. And it took us probably 20 minutes to pull up the actual carpet. And it took us about 3 hours after that to get all those little staples up. and it was hard work. You know, that was something that had to go. There's some things we keep and there's some things we throw away. The carpet had to go. And you know what? Sin is like that in our lives. There's heirlooms. There's things that are passed on to us that we can't hold on to. We have to say, this has to go. But it's not as easy as just ripping up and taking out. The carpet goes easy. But we have all these little staples stuck in our lives, stuck in our heart, these old habits, these things that are so stuck down in us. And it takes work to pry all those little things up and take those times to make sure that our lives are aligned to how God wants us to be. What are we holding on to? What are we going to throw away? My first line there is, what do I throw away? So yeah, we're going to pose the question, but then what is that? What are those things that I need to get rid of? And as I was looking, reading the Bible and looking for examples of this kind of thing, what I kept coming across was the word idols. And that's the first thing under what do I throw away is idols. We have things in our lives that get in front of God. But these, what was interesting to me is I was talking about family heirlooms in that context was idols were family heirlooms in the Bible. This is something that each family a lot of times had household idols. You can see examples of this in the Bible. Rachel, when her and Jacob and their whole family are moving away from her father, she goes in the night and steals all the family idols and takes them with her. They had them, apparently they existed, and she wanted to take them with her. There's a couple more examples you could look at, but this is something that gets passed down and down and down. And I think we have family idols today. We have family heirlooms that are idols in our life that we have to deal with, we have to get rid of. There's a couple verses here of people who said, you know what, I'm going to get rid of the idols, not only in my life, but in my sphere of influence. 1 Samuel 7:3 says, Samuel said to all the people of Israel, if you want to return to the Lord with all your heart, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey him alone. Samuel's saying, this is kind of a time of upheaval, and the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen and then had been returned, but there was nobody, there was no king, there was no one. You know, Samuel was the leader of Israel, but yet they were not following God at that time. And he said, look, if you want to come back to God, you've got to get rid of some things in your life. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect before you come and follow God. But when you follow God, when you say, I'm gonna come back to God, and you start walking after him, there's some things that you can't take with you. And Samuel says, you need to get rid of your foreign gods and your image of Ashtoreth, the idols in your life. King Asa, in 1 Kings 15, we read about King Asa of Judah. And it says, Asa did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight as his ancestor David had done. He banished the male and female shrine prostitutes from the land and got rid of all the idols his ancestors had made. So he's a good king. He comes in and he says, you know what, we're going to go back to following God. And he gets rid of the idols. But what I thought was an interesting phrase in there was the idols his ancestors had made. This is a generational thing. This is something that's, you know, the ancestors before him had done, and so the next generation had done the same thing, and the next generation had done the same thing. And it was a continual process. It's this family heirloom of idolatry. And I think today it's no less relevant than it was then, except we don't have little shrines in our houses, most of us. But maybe we do. Maybe we do have shrines in our houses to favorite sports teams that take up all of our time, or some families have idols of just sports in general that, you know, we're going to be at every single thing, even if it takes us away from church. We're going to be devoted to every single sporting event. We're not going to miss anything on TV. We're not going to miss anything in person, whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong with sports or being involved in sports or anything like that. But an idol is something that comes between you and God. And to say, where does this fit in the hierarchy of importance in my life, in my family's life? Some families have idols of entertainment, television. We don't do anything without sitting in front of the TV. We don't do anything without watching movies or, you know, whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong with doing that sometime or spending some time doing that. But again, is that more important than God in your life and your family's life? And that's where you have to stop and honestly take stock and say, are there idols in my family? I think a lot of us would say, yes, there are. Some idols in families could even be religiosity. Coming to church and doing everything you think and following all these rules, but you know what? We don't have a relationship with God. We don't know what that life of God is like in our family. It's all about the rules, and it's all about, you know, making sure that it looks like on the outside we're really happy people who go to church and nothing is wrong. Instead of we're going to be people who follow God, and if that takes us through really tough times, so be it. But we're going to follow God no matter what. We all have family idols, I think, that come from the family we were raised in, or it might be something that we've introduced. And we need to take stock and say, you know what? I'm going to break this in my life, and I'm going to get rid of these things. What are you going to keep, and what are you going to get rid of? 1 Peter 1:18 says, "You know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere silver or gold, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." The empty way of life handed down from your ancestors. It's a family heirloom. We all have these heirlooms handed down that are empty. They'll leave us empty. If we pursue the things that our forefathers, our ancestors pursued, it's going to leave us empty, no matter what that is. And I love Peter's reminder that God has called us to more than that. You may have inherited a lot of things from your family, a family bent, a family iniquity, but that's no excuse. It's no excuse to say, that's the way I was raised. Because God has called us higher. God has said, you are bought with the precious blood of Christ. And so when you accept that, we can't use it as an excuse anymore. This is how I was raised. This is the only way I was taught. Because God has called us to something higher. Jesus paid the ultimate price. He sacrificed himself, laid himself down. And he didn't do that so that we could just keep doing all the things that our families have always done. The things that would leave us empty. And we need to throw those things out. Another thing we need to throw out is the sinful nature. This is something that if you start looking through some words like get rid of throughout the Bible and throw out throughout the Bible, this is something that comes up again and again. And see, this is probably the biggest thing that we inherit, because we don't just inherit it from our parents. We inherit this all the way back to Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were created without sin, but yet they chose to sin. And so all of humanity after that point is affected by that. All of humanity after that pays a price. But it's not just for their sin, because we have that same sin in us. We have that natural bent. This is probably the worst family heirloom there is, and we all have it. Natural bent to run away from God, to turn away from God. This is the empty way of life handed down from our ancestors. Paul talks a lot about it. He calls it the old nature, or the sinful nature, the old man. This is what we need to throw out. It's like old carpet. It's ruined, and we need to get rid of it. This is what he writes to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians 4. He says, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. He's asking them to stop living like the Gentiles, but they are Gentiles. The church in Ephesus had a lot of Gentiles. He's saying, you were raised this way. This is the tradition that you were handed down. But you can't keep living like that. You've got to break away from that. It's the family heirloom, but you've got to break that cycle of sin. And it gives examples. This is what this heirloom looks like. Darkened understanding, separated from the life of God, hardened hearts, insensitive, given up, indulgent, impure, greedy. This is what it looks like to keep living in the family heirlooms that you've been handed down, the empty way of life. It's not their fault that the people who came before them acted that way. They didn't have a choice in that. It's not their fault that this was the only example they were given. But Paul isn't going to let them off the hook. He's not going to let them use that as an excuse, because he says, you know what? I insist on it in the Lord that you stop doing that. But you know, he doesn't leave them hanging. He doesn't just say, you know, bad, don't do that. He says, here's what you should do. Here's what you need to get rid of. Okay, that's clear now. But what do I hold on to? And he says, that isn't what you learned in Christ. You may have seen that example in your family, but you have been taught better through the example of Jesus Christ. You have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him. Throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. This isn't what you learned about from Christ. This old way of life is not what God has for you. Throw it off. Get rid of it. Rip it out. Do the hard work of getting it out of your life and put on a new self, which is created to be like Christ. Once the old is torn out, start to replace it with that new life that is in and from God. In Colossians 3, it's Paul again talking in a similar manner. And he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Family heirlooms, family idols. It's idolatry because we put these things ahead of God. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. What are you getting rid of? Strip it off, get rid of. And what are you holding on to? Put on your new nature in Christ. Step out of the empty way of life handed down to you by your ancestors and step into the new, vibrant, full life that God has offered us. And that's hard work. And it takes time. It's not something that's instantaneous. Like the carpet. It comes up. There's a moment when that whole carpet comes up, and that's pretty fast. But then it's a real process to get down there and pull out the staples one by one. It takes work. It takes time. That's how our lives are, too. We don't just go from the empty way of life handed down to our ancestors to say, okay, I'm going to follow God, and then ta-da, you know, I never have to struggle with any of those things again. I never have to fight. I never have to do that hard work. It takes time to put these new ways of living into practice. And that's what following God is all about is about taking those steps and following him in that process. And that's what we hold on to. What do I hold on to? What do I let go of? What do I throw away? What do I hold on to? Because there's good heirlooms too, right? It's not all old socks and bad habits and things that people have taught us. There are good things too. And some of you might say, you know, my parents loved God and they taught me to love God and I'm going to hold on to that. Some of you might say, you know, my family was very loving and my parents told me every day that they love me and I'm holding on to that, and that's something that's going to be a part of my family. Some people might say, you know, my family were hard workers and they really instilled in me that I need to work hard. And I'm going to hold on to not all these things are bad. So what are we going to hold on to? There's good and bad, and the trick really is sorting the two out. And again, Paul doesn't leave us hanging. We go back to those scriptures in Colossians and Ephesians. And he gives us the negative, don't do this, but he also says, do this. If you go back to Colossians 3, we were there just a few moments ago. He continues on in verse 12 and he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What are we going to hold on to? What are we going to throw away? Hold on to compassion. Hold on to kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love. Hold on to those things. Clothe yourself in those things. That's what you put back. When you tear out the old carpet of your life, that's what you put back. And Ephesians 5, this is a little bit of a further jump, but it's just a few verses after Ephesians 4 where he's talking about all these things that we need to rip out of our lives. And in Ephesians 5, he says, this is what we put into our lives. He says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So let's be honest. We all inherited things from our family. Probably all of us inherited something good and something bad. Maybe a lot of good and not a lot of bad. More likely, a lot of bad and maybe some good. That's just the way it is. But the question is, like I said when I started, the crux of this message, the main thing is this one question. What are you going to hold on to? And what are you going to throw away? Moses puts it this way. You got to choose. What do I choose? What will I choose? Because you have two ways of life. And this is a really well-known passage in Deuteronomy where Moses has gone over the law. He's reading out loud to the people. This is the agreement. If you follow God, then he will bless you. And when you obey, when you love God and follow him with all your heart, this is the good things that are going to happen in your life. But if you don't, if you turn away from God, then there's curses. There's blessings or curses. And this is what he says. Today, I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. This is the key. This is what it's all about. Love God, obey him, commit yourself to him. What are you going to choose? What am I going to choose? And you know what? This isn't a one-time question. This isn't something you say, what am I going to choose? I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose to follow God. I'm going to choose to follow God's plan for my life instead of the empty way of life handed down to my by my ancestors. Because this is everyday stuff. This is how we talk to each other. This is how we live. This is our thought processes. This is how we spend our money. This is how we spend our time. This is everyday stuff. And it's small decisions all the time that lead to these big changes, whether that's a good change or whether that's a bad change. So we have to choose. You already know, we already know what our family of origins looked like. We all could describe what our family life was like growing up. But what is my life going to look like? And this isn't just for couples. This isn't just for parents. This is, you know, the high school seniors that we have today that are graduating. What is your life going to look like? Who is going to be honored in your life? You know, this is for families and young parents. What is your family going to look like as you raise your children? This is for, you know, seniors in high school and senior citizens. Because a lot of times, these things from when we were kids, from our original families, are still there. They don't just go away just because we get older. So what is my life going to look like? What is my marriage going to look like? What's my family going to look like? Joshua said it, I think, very eloquently and pretty famously. He says this in Joshua 24, "Fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived across the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Put away your ancestors' idols. We all have them. We all have them. I don't care what your family was like, how much they love God, we still have family heirlooms that are not good. Put those away. Get rid of them so that we can follow God. But Joshua just puts it out there. He says, you know what? You have a choice. You can keep serving. You can continue the empty way of life handed to you by your ancestors. You can keep that up. That's your choice. You can follow God where he's called you into a new inheritance. They're about to go into the promised land. God had promised them something greater if they would follow him, a new inheritance. And he said, or you can do something else entirely. You can make up your own idols. You can accept the idols of the people where you are now. Bring something new in. That's your choice too. But the point is, you have to decide. We have to choose, what will I choose? In my life, in my family, what am I going to choose? And the people said, we will follow the Lord. If you continue reading in verse 25, Joshua makes a covenant. And it says, he made a covenant with the people that day at Shechem, committing them to follow the decrees and regulations of the Lord. He recorded these things in the book of God's instructions, and as a reminder of this agreement, he took a huge stone and rolled it beneath the terebinth tree beside the tabernacle of the Lord. He set up a monument to say, okay, you've made your decision. You've said we're going to follow God. And this is a reminder. And I encourage you, as you're thinking about this, what am I going to choose? First of all, that you would choose to follow God's plan for your life. But after you do that, you would say, you know what? We're going to make ourselves reminders of these things. That's why we did this for the seniors. It's a reminder of who you're going to serve. What's your monument going to be to say this is who we are going to lift up and follow in our life? And it's my hope and my prayer that all of us would say together, like Joshua did, as for me, my family, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice of Christ, the blood of Christ that has made it possible for us to break this cycle of sin in our families, in our countries, in the generations that go. God, you've made it possible that we can be different. You've made it possible that we can change, not by our own power or our own hard work, but by your grace. God, I pray that we would accept that grace and that our families, our lives would be built on your truth and that we would follow you. God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.